This week we were talking about superheroes and Jesus being my superhero. And it was making it personal. And I thought, this morning you can ask Ed, I've been praying all morning. I'm like, okay, Lord, help me to live today what I've been teaching all week long. And so I'm going to remain vulnerable before you. But I wanted to start out this morning sharing an article this week that I was reading, purely out of looking for something else, but this came up and I thought, well, how appropriate. It's from Very Well Family. It was an internet article, but it's all about Vacation Bible School, VBS for short. It says Vacation Bible School is a ministry outreach. Ministry outreach. We've been talking about outreach. Churches provide to educate children about God. Nothing new. The purpose is to incorporate themed activities that interest kids and give them a chance to learn about God. A typical day for children and adults who fully participate include prayer, Bible stories, crafts, games, songs, character building activities, and everyone's favorite, snacks. I like snacks. VBS is an easy way to get kids involved in church while giving them an opportunity to meet people within the church too. Vacation Bible School teachers are church staff as well as church members who volunteer their time. In fact, many church members helping out with VBS are parents or grandparents. Some of them are even parents of the children that come to VBS. And many VBS programs choose one theme. You just heard our theme song. And they use that whole theme throughout the week to creatively adapt it to scripture and stories from the Bible. One of our teachers this week said, I hate using the word stories because, you know, here we go again. I don't know why I get on kicks, but the English language has really, you know, messed up the word stories, because now we hear stories and we think, oh, it's something that's not true, you know, because we hear about all these great stories that people make up. That's not always the case. Stories sometimes are true. So I said, well, you know, Jesus is the greatest story ever told. She's like, oh, okay, understood, corrected. So, but when I read that last line, or when I even started to read the article, I thought, oh, my creative mind, or at least to me, I have a creative mind, it kicked in. And I thought, what if we thought beyond that five-day Bible school, Vacation Bible School, that's for kids, and that five-day typical Vacation Bible School that just about every church in existence holds every summer, right? We can go. We can start at the beginning of, right after school starts. There was one I noticed the week after school started this year, and we had two weeks prior to ours. You know, I've seen signs. But what if we thought beyond that? The article went on to say that the age range is usually from preschoolers to high school. We've done some Bible schools that the high schoolers not just helped, but they had their own class with their own activities. I thought, okay, what about beyond high school? And especially when the article then began to share the benefits of Vacation Bible School. Last year, I passed out these little things that said how many people have actually been impacted by Bible school. When I found this article, I was looking for that again, and I couldn't find it. But this gave me a whole different flair to go. It says, children learn about religion through fun, age-appropriate activities. VBS provides a wonderful opportunity for kids to socialize and learn more about religion, or Jesus, in a relaxed atmosphere. It provides life lessons that help every child learn how to be a good person and a friend to others. Kids meet new friends, get to share their beliefs. And you don't have to be a church member to attend VBS. So that got me thinking, rather than doing a typical VBS program, you know, where the kids present everything and halfway along the line there's a kid that drops out because, you know, and you find more fun in watching the kids be goofy and all of that than you do about listening to the message of what they learned. I thought, I would like to take you all on a journey back to Vacation Bible School this morning. So, okay? So for the next several minutes, I would like you to put on a VBS mentality and join with me in an abbreviated version of what we went through this week. Okay? All right. So our week started off with a question. Very first thing I did, I said, who is your superhero? Of course, I got many answers, some of which I realized I was much too old because I had no idea who they were talking about. So because there were only three girls, we embraced Barbie, as you could see, toward the end of that. And the other two were not here, but we had a whole long discussion on why Barbie could be a superhero. So every moment was a teaching opportunity. It was great. But you know, I was impressed with the children because they didn't say Jesus right away. Jesus wasn't their first answer. It was what you thought, Superman, Spider-Man, you know, a whole bunch of different, but not Jesus. And I could tell there were a few teachers, a few of the adult workers that were a little concerned with that. But I was impressed with that. You might think I'm crazy at this point, and what's she even doing involved in Bible school if she's not wanting them to know about Jesus? There you go. So, I was impressed because I knew the children were being honest. And I call that being real. You know, if all of them would have said Jesus, my next thing would have been like, well, gee, there's nothing left to teach. They already know that Jesus is their superhero, right? So, the fact that they were real and the fact that they trusted us as a church to be honest about what they were thinking, I thought, wow, that is a teachable heart. And so for any of you who have ever tried to get a message across, you know, that's being a teacher, by the way, but especially for those teachers that were about to teach the most important truth of all, that Jesus is the superhero, that was like the best way to start. So I want to take just a couple seconds just to hit on why super and hero are separated on any of our flyers. If you saw that, you know, superhero, yes, I know, is one word. But when I found this definition of hero, says it's a noun. It says noted for feats of courage and nobility of purpose. One who is bold, solid, confident, yet modest, an inspiration to all. I thought, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. He's a hero. And I'm pretty sure that sounds pretty super to me. So, therefore, super hero. So, I invite you this morning, if you're ready, if you're bold, to find out more about just how super this hero Jesus is. We learned this week that Jesus is uniquely special. Anyone, the kids, when I ask them, why is so-and-so your superhero? They can tell you bunches of things, trust us, about why they're fond of that superhero and some special things that that superhero does that nobody else does. They had it all. They knew exactly, right? But Luke 2:11, which was our first memory verse, told us right from the beginning why Jesus was so uniquely special. Luke 2:11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That was their memory verse for Monday. And just like I asked them, I'm going to ask you. I just want you to pick out that word in that first part. For unto you, you, individually, separately, no one else. I just want you to realize. Got that? You, personally, not for anybody else. That if we stop and we take time to really think about Jesus being born just for us, just for me personally. Sounds sort of harsh, but like, you know, I don't care about any of you. Right now, I'm just going to bask in the truth that Jesus was born for me. Wow. And he wasn't just an ordinary man that was born, right? Right. Christ the Lord. Right. Your Savior. Born for you personally. Oh, the other thing I forgot to tell you with the Twizzlers, we also had our own version of our superhero this week. And I think he's gonna make another appearance. And every day, our superhero put on a different garment. We'll have to make sure he gets out here safely. Even superheroes need help occasionally. Hi, superhero. And trust me, every day people were looking for him. Where's our superhero? Where's our superhero? So he's become a big hit. But every day he put on some new garment that was able to give a physical reference of what we were learning in our lessons. So, and on this first day, when we learned about Luke 2:11, he put on his crown. And he came out at the end of the day with his crown on. And I asked the kids what that crown meant. Now, you know, they could have said a lot of things. But after, at the end of the day, after learning the scripture and hearing that message, they said it means he's the King of Kings. And they knew not this person, but Jesus was the King of Kings. And then one little girl timidly said, "And the Lord of Lords." And that's exactly how she said it. And I'm like, okay, Bible school's over. So, and it was such a precious moment of that childlike faith. But we discussed that a little bit, you know, what does King of Kings and Lord of Lords mean? And they came right back with, it means he is in everything. He's over everything. He's everything to me. There's nothing that he can't do. And they realized just how special that Jesus really was. That he was the only one born to be our Savior. Only Jesus. No one else. Wow. Talking about a great way to start the week, right? And it only got better from there. That was just the beginning of the week. So Luke 19:10, that was our second, and it was, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Luke 19:10 says that that's why Jesus came. That's why he was born as a baby and he grew as a special person, only to seek and to save the lost. And so our superhero came out then with these super handy dandy goggles, right? So, and we learned that that was because God was omniscient. He knows all things. Well, we had to get that so it was sees all things, right? So he knows all things. He sees all things. He is the superhero that loves us enough to seek us out, even when he knows all the worst about us. He still came to save us from a hopeless life. You see, Jesus came to take us from where we already are. We don't have to get to someplace first. He comes personally to where we're at, just like he did to Zacchaeus. He knew all about Zacchaeus. He knew who Zacchaeus was. He knew who he was as a person, but he also knew who he wanted to be. And just like Zacchaeus, Jesus came to make sure we knew he wanted to take us to a place where he wants us to be, which is in his presence. He doesn't just take a quick look at us. Oh, no, not that one. Not that one. No, not that one. Oh yeah, that one. That one's okay. That's not Jesus. He seeks us out just like he intentionally walked over to that tree, looked at Zacchaeus, and yes, we sang that song, "Zacchaeus, you come down," right? "For I'm going to your house today." He wanted to invite Zacchaeus to a place of fellowship with him. Now here's the thing that I didn't even get till this week. And you know, when you get something, it's hard to get it out of your mind. I thought, wow, Jesus was inviting Zacchaeus back to his very own home. Zacchaeus' home. Right? Talking about bold. "Hey, Don, I'm coming to your house for lunch today, okay?" Right? Like, none of us do that. Who does that? But Jesus says, "No, no. I'm so intent on having a relationship with you, like you are, that I'm going to come back to your very most intimate place, and I'm going to become a part of your life right there." Wow. And then I thought, you know what? Jesus, our superhero, he doesn't quit. He didn't quit with Zacchaeus. We learned several other stories. He didn't quit with Zacchaeus. He searches diligently so every one of us, here, there, out there, right? Outreach, we've been all focused about that. So that he can give us a better life. Oh, no, not a better life. The best life. Stacy's on it today. She read my message. But you know what? Such a life requires a response from us. Jesus says, "Here, I'm giving it to you." But Zacchaeus had to climb down out of the tree. He had to agree. He had to go to him, right? But we won't have any trouble at all finding him because he's already there. But we do have to take that step. We do have to say, "Yes, I'm going to leave that part behind and I'm going to follow Jesus," right? He takes us someplace better than we can even imagine. You know, you might be sitting here and you're fine. Your life's fine and dandy right now. You don't need anything. Well, good for you. But there's a better life. There's the best life out there that you don't even realize because you haven't reached it yet because you're still walking with Jesus to get there. That's why Christ follower is a term, right? The children at VBS, and the children everywhere, it's a childlike faith, they're not ashamed to talk about how Jesus is able and has saved them from their sins, has helped them with their fears, has calmed their doubts, has healed them from hurt and pain. And they weren't afraid of learning how a life with Jesus could change their life forever, and anybody else that they might tell later the stories that they were learning. But they also understood they had to make that choice themselves. Just like Peter, which was our second story, they learned that they had to keep their eyes fixed and focused on Jesus. It wasn't, you know, just getting out of the boat that one time and everything was hunky-dory. I call it one-time leap of faith. It wasn't about that. It was about keeping. In fact, the next verse that we learned was 2 Peter 3:18, and it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Grow. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. He gets glory for everything. When our lives are His, when our lives become focused on Him, walking with Him, He gets all the glory. We don't even have to worry about being perfect anymore because it's all focused and fixed on Jesus. Peter and the other disciples that were with Jesus on that episode on that lake in that boat learned just how powerful Jesus the superhero was. They learned the same thing that we learned this week, that Jesus is all powerful. He's omnipotent. The kids like picked up on these words, and in fact, a couple days it was like, oh, what's that word? Because then, you know, we'd come in and the first thing and we'd sort of do a review, and they were like that. The adults are like, oh, wow, you know? Our CC Naz superhero, he put on water shoes these days. And we asked this silly question, you know, Does Jesus the superhero need water shoes to do that miracle of walking to the disciples on the water? And of course, no, that's a symbol. That's a symbol of His power. They pretty much taught themselves, actually. But you know, Jesus used that power that God had given Him to go to those frightened disciples. And He used that power to assure Peter that, yes, I really am who I say I am, and you can come to Me. And even though, you know, if you know that story, and by the way, if you don't, at the top of your notes in the bulletin, those are the stories in the entirety of what we taught from. So go home and look at those. But if you know the story of Peter, yeah, there was a little, you know, all that in the middle, and there's been many sermons preached on that. But what really stuck out to me again was, even after all that, Jesus calmed. He calmed the seas. And that's when they were like, whoa, He really is the Lord. Lord with a big L, we learned. You know, Lord, He is all power. He is all knowing. He really is. And isn't that what we do? You know, we pray. This goes back to doing all the right things. You know, we read our Bible. Yeah, I got my 3 scriptures in for the day. Yeah, I prayed about that. Never mind the fact that while I'm praying about that, I'm you know, in the back of my head worried. No. At that moment, the disciples were like, wow, all those things He's been doing and saying, we just got to experience that firsthand. That was powerful. Right? And then we learned another word. We learned that Jesus is omnipresent. And our superhero had a cape on. And this one did stump them, because they were convinced that He used that cape to fly to heaven. And I was like, no, what else could they do? And so at the end, they were like, oh, He uses that because He's everywhere. He covers everything, right? Jesus covers all that's around Him. And we learned about Saul. And we learned that if you read the scripture close enough, God was with Saul from the very beginning. Even through the terrible midst of all that he was doing. It's a long story. We went into it. It was pretty amazing because I never really realized that before. I didn't realize that Saul's biggest problem is he thought he was responsible for helping God out. Like, whoa, talking about a lack of faith, you know? Jesus can't be our superhero if we think we have to come to His rescue. Right? Even when Saul on the outside was not godly, that didn't mean God wasn't already at work in him. And God was already at work in Ananias. He was already preparing him not to be frightened when he told him what he needed to do. My prayer this morning, you know, Lord's going to ask us to do something that we're just going to be like, no, can't do that. I can't stand up here without this protection around me. I can't try to teach Bible school to a bunch of scholarly adults who, you know, have read the Bible for 50 years. I can't do any of that, Lord. The Lord says, wait a minute. Did you hear a thing I said to you all week?
Amen.
Did you hear any of that? Did you hear that I am your superhero? You know, God does not pick and choose who he desires to have a relationship based with what they're doing on with their outside actions. God already said, I've got great plans for Saul. He's going to do great things. In fact, that's sort of what he told Ananias if you read the story. No. See, I've got great things in store for this guy. I can't help what he's doing right now, you know. He'll work it out. It's my own interpretation. A little twisted, I know. But I like to have real conversations with God. Because that's how he gets through to me. Wait, let me process in my own head with my own ideas. But in the end, Saul did exactly what God knew he was going to do all along, right? God loves everyone, regardless of where they're starting at. Regardless of where that starting point is, he's like, no. Even that one, I want to have a solid, good relationship with me. I say good, bad, and ugly. Doesn't matter. In Romans 5:8, this scripture is so powerful that we actually focused on it for 2 days. Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love for us. In that, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Right? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we weren't doing anything, probably, that God thinks we should be doing, you know what? It didn't matter. He says, nope, I'm sending you this tiny baby. This tiny, very uniquely special baby, and he's going to grow up like no other man ever has, and he's going to do extraordinarily wonderful acts that are going to bring people to him. He's going to be able to keep people's attention that need to be kept so that they don't drift off and think, what in the world is this guy saying? He's going to help people to understand and grasp a message of truth and hope that's going to change people's lives from the best. Christ died for us, and it's up to us how we're going to respond to that great and precious gift. The gift is for all. How we respond to it, that's different. Now, we're presented with choices every day, but there's no choice that's more important than seriously considering where you are in your relationship with Christ. I don't care if you've been saved 1 second or you've been saved 100 years. I don't care if you've not made that decision yet. Doesn't matter. Every day, we should all be examining where we are in our relationship with Jesus. So, my question, my challenge, is that, can you honestly say that Jesus is your superhero? I hope so. It's a wonderful place to start, because then he does all kinds of remarkable things. You know, I'll say what I was going to say for the end, but more importantly, Jesus knows your honest answer. It doesn't matter what I see on the outside. Doesn't matter what your family sees on the outside. Doesn't matter what your friends see on the outside. Doesn't mean that it matters what those in your ministry see on the outside. It matters what's on the inside. And just like the children learned, God knows anyway, right? He sees all. He knows all. He's in all. He's through all. He's in everything, like they said. We encouraged the students this week to be honest with themselves and to be honest with Jesus and to realize that Jesus loves them enough. There's nothing that they can say that shocks him. He just wants to be there for them. And our last symbol was the cross. And we spent the whole last day talking about the cross and what it means. And I'll be quite honest. I had a name for superhero from the very beginning. And I kept like, what is it? What was it? I can't remember. And when I saw the cross and when I started reflecting on what we had learned, I thought, you know what? Our hero's name is Super Faith. Oh, amen. Super Faith. Because as Jesus, you are my superhero followers, it's all about the death on the cross, the burial in the tomb, the resurrection that was celebrated by many. And this is when we leave out the ascension into heaven, where Jesus says, you know what? I'm giving you my spirit that's going to be with you forever and ever and ever. That power that I have, right? The power that I have to do all these mighty things, regardless of how great it is, that power I'm giving to you. Because you've got some serious things to do down on this earth. I'm up here preparing a place for you, where someday you're going to live with me for all of eternity. But for right now, I need you to tell your friends and family. I need you to go back to school and tell your friends. I need you to go to work. I need you to go to that person on the corner. I need you to come to the community yard sale. Can't remember what that thing's called. Community yard sale. Because to me now it's an outreach, you know. Somebody yesterday, here we are for a wedding and there's this lady, can I help you? She's like, yeah, where's the yard sale? I'm like, no, that's on September 7th. She's like, well, I didn't think anything looked like it was for sale in here. But I'm like, no, you come back though. Oh, I will, you know. So it's like, it seems silly because, you know, we're thinking, it's been planted in our heads that we have to be these evangelistic street preachers that go out there and just spew out the gospel every time we open our mouths. But like, the power of Jesus living in us, that's not a good enough gospel. But you know what? Remember I said we got to take that step. We have to believe that that's possible. And then we have to say, yes, I'm going to accept that. I'm going to be different. Not different so that everybody can see me being different, because Jesus is my superhero and I want to follow him. So back to my creative mind. This morning, I thought, you know what? Those benefits, they really apply to us as adults if we let it. Remember those benefits I read about the kids? So I thought, so let's look outside of that 5-day window and let's look into every church gathering, whether that church gathering's in the building or that church gathering is a fellowship among our homes or wherever we gather, you know, our WOW ministry going down to Acts, or doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. A church gathering is where his believers are gathered together. But what if we saw it as a place for adults to learn about a spirit-filled life? And it's okay to do it through fun, age-appropriate activities. What about if it was a place that provided a wonderful opportunities for adults to socialize and to learn more about Jesus in a relaxed setting rather than have to worry about, you know, who's looking around at me? What, am I doing the right thing? Did I sit when I need? Did I stand when I needed to? Did I pray just right? Right? That's not very relaxed. What if it was a place to learn how to apply life lessons? That's where the stories of our very own lives come in, that will help every person become a better example of a Christ-like life. and help us be better friends to one another? What if it was a place to offer to meet new friends? What if we ventured out of our little circle of people that we've been hanging with for years? And we said, you know what? Hi, I know you've been coming here for a while. What's your name? I'm sorry I haven't, you know. What if we do that? Talk to me someday about the names that I just keep spewing forth in any of my gatherings that I'm in. Because people are like, who? Now they're just like, oh, okay, I gotta find out who this person is because she's not going to shut up until I know who this person is. And what if our church gatherings were a place, here's a big one, to accept those who are not already church members and welcome them into our place of fellowship. Not just shake their hands and say, hey, it's nice to have you today, and then walk out and never think about them, but invite them to those places of fellowship that we go. To invite them wherever. To call them on the phone, to send them a card. To, you know, we usually, if people want to give their addresses and phone numbers, we usually have those. We usually have them for that reason, so that people can keep in contact with them. So see, when you stop and you look at it like that, Vacation Bible School is really for everyone. It's really for everyone. So, in closing, just so that I can prove to you, and you can prove to yourselves, that you can have fun and hear a true message. There's a song, it's called the Wordless Book Song. And it is a song that was developed to teach people, or to teach children especially, how important it is to learn the truth that we learned this week. They don't use the word Jesus is our superhero, but to learn just how important that the truth of Jesus is. But from directly connecting with him in that relationship that he's calling us to. So some of you here today, you know, you probably know this truth, but this is a good opportunity to hear it in a different way. Some of you maybe have heard this, but you haven't made that decision. I'm not going to be your judge. I'm going to let you and your honesty before God be your judge. And I'm going to say, sing this song as much as you can. It's not hard. It's meant for children. You'll catch on quick. It's not hard. But I don't want you to just sing it for entertainment. I want you to hear the words. And then I want you to respond. If you need to come up here and respond, that's fine. We had kids this week. I want to pray, and they hit the altar. I'm like, where did you learn that? You know, they weren't kids from our church. Maybe they go to church. I don't know. But they knew when they prayed, they want to go to the altar. Great. Maybe you want to stay in your seat. I don't know. We had a little girl this week. She participated, but she participated from her seat. That's fine with me. I don't care. It's not up to me. No, I don't know your heart. Jesus knows your heart. So as we sing this morning, you know, I would ask you to be brave enough to let your childlike faith, let it out a little bit, you know. Admit to Jesus that regardless of where you are in your life currently, you still need his power. You want him to be your superhero.